We begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, it's been said that parables are something like stories or poems that draw us into the story, but they tease our minds and leave us to think what the meaning of that story is. They leave us humble, knowing that we don't have everything figured out, but with the kind of a direction that we can move with because of what we've heard. So we have a general idea, but parables always give us something more to think about. Well, with this parable, we're given a good sense of how we can trust God and know that God is in charge, yet we can live with disruptions and signs of evil all around us, and we wish we knew more about God's intentions. What is God's plan for the world? Most likely, the Christians that Matthew was writing had great problems and disruptions, both from the outside and from the inside. They could feel the evil around them as the Roman and Jewish authorities gave them much trouble. In some areas, Jews could have them arrested for being Christians, and depending upon the emperor, they could be arrested and killed by the Romans as well for being Christians. This had to make them wonder sometimes, is God with us when it's so tough to be a Christian? What's going on in God's world? At the same time, they had problems in their local congregations too. Most of the epistles in the New Testament, especially those written by Paul, are words of wisdom for either correct things or to encourage them when times are hard. Both times might be hard with the outsiders or even with the insiders in their congregations, and they were having trouble with one another. Even today, Christian congregations are seldom completely at peace. Some think one way, some think another way, and it's common to have some tension in the community. Sometimes there can be a temptation to begin to think about who should be in and who should be out. This is a temptation to judge and divide. And Jesus is getting at that in this parable today. When things aren't going well, we're tempted to think that there's an evil force out there, an enemy force out there, and whether it's in a congregation or just thinking of our own lives. When a cancer returns, or when depression sets in, or when addiction robs a loved one or ourselves of a full life, or when a loved one's life is cut short, or when we see the war forces thousands, if not millions, of people to be refugees, or when the world turns its back on those in need. These are all places in the time when they sense the world is not what God intended it to be, and that weighs very heavy upon us. We feel that reality of sin, the brokenness and evil in the world. We know that the devil has been very busy planting seeds of evil in the world. And sometimes it's hard for us not to blame God for all the bad things that are around us. We hear things like, God doesn't send us more than we can bear, or don't worry, it's part of God's plan, or it's an act of God, even, we say. But this parable reminds us that God doesn't send bad things. God doesn't plant the weeds. God plants only the good seeds. God doesn't want evil for us in any way, shape, or form. Our tragedies aren't part of God's plan. God loves us. God doesn't want us to suffer. As Paul says, God works for good in all things. God is in this struggle as much as we are. When the parable tells us about good seed and bad seed that were planted, there's another planting that outdoes all others. That's the planting that happened on a Friday. There was a hole dug near the city of Jerusalem. And in that hole, the end of a piece of wood was put into it. And on the other end of that piece of wood was the body of Jesus the Christ. God's own son, Jesus, was mounted and killed on a cross. How could evil be shown any more powerfully? In this world of unbelievable good and beauty, the most evil thing happened. In that world, God was killed in the form of Jesus. God who made the whole world, God who made it good, suffered the height, or shall we say the depth, of evil and death. God knows as well as anyone about the sufferings, about the untimely deaths, about backstabbing, about backbiting, and the desertion that happens all around us. God knows them all, and God suffers with them all. They were all with God in Jesus on the cross. Yet the point of the parable finally is encapsulated in the resurrection that came on Easter. It showed, as the parable says, that in the end, evil will be destroyed, and that the goodness and the will of God will prevail. This is where we can place our faith as we fight the battles with our bodies, with our actions, with our temptations, with our households, with our communities, with our country, and with the world. We're encouraged, and we can work against evil for the sake of good, knowing that how it all comes out in the end is in the hands of God. God has done the sowing, and God will do the sorting in the end of the good and the evil. And so we trust it all to God, because God has made it in the first place, and we trust the promise that in the end, those who are with God will shine like the sun. When we trust that God is redeeming the world, it sets us free to take responsibility just for our corner of the world. We don't have to save the whole world. We can save our corner of it. We don't have to defeat all evil and death, because that's God's work to do. But we can care for our neighbor or anyone who is in need. We can speak out and act against injustice. We can support those in need who live planted near us. We know how it's hard to keep the faith and keeping acting out of it with deeds of goodness while we wait for God's final acts of judgments and God's redemption. There is so much pain that we seem to go through. It can be hard to keep up hope. But we can remember that we're not the first ones to feel this way. This book has all the signs of being of this. Parable has all the signs of being apocalyptic literature, like we find in the book of Revelation. In this kind of literature, in both the Old and New Testaments, it's written in a kind of code language, where the oppressors are kind of symbolized in the words that are used, so that they won't know that it's talking about them. A book like Daniel is apocalyptic in that it talks about Daniel and lions being with the lions in the den, but it's really talking about the Jews living in Babylon and the struggles that they have. The reference to planting evil seed in our lesson today may well have been about the Romans or about the Jews seeking to do harm to the Christians, kind of code language for that, or about evil ones in the congregation trying to split it up by planting weed seeds. So there's kind of a code language going on here. So if we think of some of the things in our times are tough, we are not the first, and we're not alone. The stories of Jesus in today's parable remind us that God is for the good, and God's way will prevail in the end, no matter how powerful the enemy may seem to be. In a few minutes, we'll be baptizing little Joshua Wood. Joshua will join us, and so many of us who have gone before him, who have been baptized into the faith, no matter what the problems and what the challenges that come living out our baptized life. The sign of the cross that will be put upon him is a sign of the cross that was put upon each of us when we were baptized. And this the sign that the one who has gone before us, Jesus, who died on our cross, has given to us the greatest weapon, because he's died and suffered all the worst that could come to us. He's already taken that death. So what's before us is the resurrected life. We know then that promise that life with God will prevail for Joshua as it will for any of us. I haven't talked to Brent and Karen about how they chose this name Joshua, if it was Joshua, the biblical story was part of the background of that or not. I guess it probably was. But when we think of the biblical person of Joshua, who was the leader with alongside the Moses, and then when Moses taken away, Joshua assumed the leadership of the children of Israel on their way on the Exodus. And one of the first things Joshua had to do was to lead them to defeat the people of Jericho, the city of Jericho, obeying God's command to march around the city so that God's miracle for life could win out in this new place to them of Jericho. That's one of the stories in God's long, long story echoed in this parable today. The God prevails in the end, no matter what the internal or external challenges to God's church may be. And so we take heart at this baptism this morning that we are all part of this fellowship with God, who leads us in directions that we don't anticipate and around corners that we can't see around. But we know that in the end, God will gather us, and we will all shine like the sun. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.